You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
Tuesday, 14 October, we've got local mining production due 11:30 this morning. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb Global Headquarters in Johannesburg, South Africa. On the show today, Pietley Radenhuis, Serenia Capital Advisors. I want to talk trading and the real risks. A lot of stories over the weekend about people who were trading crypto getting their accounts blown up. After only a 10% move, that feels like you are doing it wrong if 10% can destroy your account. Ben-Pierre Mohoba from Kogre M3 on results. Revenue and HEPS lower. They say it's because they're focusing on the bunk and fault infrastructure process. And then Nicholas Brutta from Tax Consulting SA. Key rules for moving money offshore. This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management. Morning headlines, MoneyWeb. SA's citrus season delivers record growth. Export volumes break 200 million cartons, with mandarins and lemons leading the surge. Bloomberg silver hits all-time high as London squeeze sparks market havoc. Prices touched $53 an ounce. Morning markets, US was green, S&P up 1.6%, NASDAQ 2.2% higher. While over in the east, it is all red. Sydney down 0.2%, Tokyo off 1.2%, Hong Kong 0.5% lower, and Tencent a little over 1.5% lower. Commodities mostly green, gold futures 4,174, Brent is the only red, 6,346, platinum 1,710, palladium 1,574. The rand is 17.31, bitcoin's 113,400, and top 40 opening call, we're looking for a red open, 150 points or 0.15% lower.
MoneyWeb Now on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Pietley Radenhuis, Herenia Capital Advisors. Pietley, appreciate the early morning time. You are many things. One of them is a trader. Lots of reports are coming through over the weekend. We saw Bitcoin down some 10% after Trump had threatened 100% tariffs on China. 10% is a decent move. I mean, it's not insignificant. But a lot of folks getting their accounts completely wiped out. And this means they were effectively trading on 10% gearing. In other words, they put down 1,000 rand and they're borrowing 9,000 rand. 10x gearing looks nice, but frankly, it is, as we've seen, it is dangerous.
Oh, the double-edged sword of leverage. Eh?
Yeah.
I think in some cases it was more than 10 times leverage. In some of these platforms,
well, yeah.
Significantly higher. And I find it interesting because Twitter came alive essentially with liquidations. There are websites, accounts, bots, whatever you want to call them, that track liquidations in the market. How many, or particularly in the crypto market, because as we know, crypto ledgers are mostly public. A lot of this information is available publicly, so you have these like liquidation monitors. Where people track, so many billions worth of liquidations just took place. All these people got stopped out, essentially. And a lot of this is like from these leveraged accounts. And what's like really concerning is that there were Twitter accounts with 20,000, 100,000 followers that were these crypto gurus, right?
I mean, yeah, they had
newsletters, subscription services, and all sorts. And they're coming out saying, I've lost $1 million. I'm ruined. This is it. Goodbye forever. it's terrible. I wish that on nobody. But at the same time, it's like you brought that on yourself. And I think this is something that we, traders, I guess, people, some people are traders and some people are just gamblers, man. Like, I think a lot of people feed this addiction to random rewards thing with the stock market. And, how better to do that with leverage? Everybody wants to be rich, tomorrow.
Yeah, yeah, in a hurry.
And nobody is willing to really sit. I mean, you don't have to use leverage on Bitcoin. This stuff runs.
Well, it is. I mean, that's my sense.
$1,000 a year.
I mean, Bitcoin feels like it's leveraged already. I agree with that 100%. And I mean, you know, you started it by saying it's a double-edged sword, right? When it goes in your favor, you're absolute winner. And when it goes against you, well, your chicken dinner just got whipped out from below you. I mean, I don't use much leverage in my trading at all. When I do, I'm looking for 2 or 3 times leveraged. And frankly, a lot of my trading is just unleveraged. To your point, we don't need Ted's addiction to random gains. We can do it gently.
Yeah, exactly. You can do it gently. And this is a lesson that I've had to learn, unfortunately, the hard way. And I've been in markets now for like 2 decades, right? The way to making money in the stock market is as easy as falling out of a tree. Okay. Mm-hmm. You just buy good quality stuff. You can just buy index ETFs,
yeah,
for example,
yeah.
And just leave it, right? Over time, the market moves higher. Now, okay, maybe this is not true for all cryptos, but it's certainly true, apparently, for Bitcoin, as we've seen over the years. So just buy stuff and leave it, right? And yes, there's volatility, and sometimes it falls 10% in a day. But if you're unleveraged and you are in it for the longer haul, then you'll survive and you'll make money over time. The very mechanic of the stock market is inflation driven. Asset prices over time go up because central banks print money. This is how it works. It's been this way since the beginning of stock markets, right? This is a very simple formula on how to make money. Buy index funds and just leave it.
Yeah, and you're very boring. Top 40 index fund is up some 30% this year, and rocket science required, zero.
Yeah, absolutely zero. Even like, and you know, if you just look at the long term average returns, I mean, you beat inflation. You know, you do well, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, what happens is people get kind of sucked into this. Trading is easy. I'm going to teach you 5 easy steps. If all you need to do is, you know, buy my newsletter, and you too could be a trillionaire by like Wednesday. And no, it doesn't work that way. Unfortunately, you know, it works that way for the trading guru. He uses all your money to live his lifestyle.
Well, yeah,
and then eventually, you know, Bitcoin falls 10%, and he's over leveraged, and he's gone.
Yeah, yeah.
It's very sad. I really do feel for the people that lost a lot of money. But it serves as a good warning for us to just avoid leverage like it's the plague, man.
Yeah, we absolutely don't need it. And to your point, one of the crypto websites, exchanges, I forget which one, was effectively offering you 50 times gearing. Man, that's a 2% move, and you are game over. We'll leave it there. Preetley Radenhuis, Hirenya Capital Advisors, appreciate the early morning. And that's our poll today. The crypto traders who blew up, it's gearing can destroy portfolios. Our question is, do you trade derivatives? Have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter. Let your money weather the storms with StanLib Asset Management. Invest in the StanLib Global Select Fund, a diversified all-weather equity portfolio submanaged by JP Morgan Asset Management.
MoneyWeb now, on the money.
I'm chatting with Ben Pielmo-Herber, CEO at Colgrow M3. Disclaimer up front, I hold shares in Colgrow. 6 months ending August, so revenue off 10%, HEPS down 17.8%. Ben Pierre, appreciate the time. Revenue and profits down, but you make the point that you really are focusing on the Bankenfeld District City project, and that really is a lot of cost, and at this point, no revenue because it's infrastructure costs.
Yeah, Simon, that's true. We are focusing on Bankenfeld because that's a long-term investment we've got. Mm-hmm. That's got to deliver in excess of 20,000 opportunities, but we can't lose focus on our existing projects. We've spent a lot of money on infrastructure over the last couple of years, and balancing that need to get Bankenfeld as a contributing project with unlocking the value created on these other projects need to be managed.
How were sales on other projects? You did make the point that the reduction in prime was positive, but perhaps not as much as hoped.
Yeah, it's definitely the recovery of the market was slower than expected, and the interest rates are still high. So our consumers are still under pressure, and it's allaying their ability to commit to bonds. What we did, however, see is the recovery of the investor market, where the sales aimed at that market segment improved a lot faster than the actual end user.
Are you seeing appetite from banks? I mean, I imagine they must be a little more keen to lend than they were, I mean, a year and a half ago, ahead of elections and with higher rates.
Yes, we've got good support from all the financial institutions in this lower market segment, with 100% bonds currently being approved, and appetite. We've got the support from all those banks. There's no doubt about that.
You also made the point in the results that you were seeing things picking up, July continuing through into August. It's not a dead market. It's just, a difficult market. It's tough being a South African consumer right now.
Yes, it is. And I think the consumer is under pressure, but we've got the investor market that's leading that recovery, that is quite nice. The number of units that were actually sold in spirit improved substantially year on year, as just aimed at a different market segment.
And the Western Cape, you also made the point in the results that you're not leaving Gauteng, but you want to focus a little bit more on Western Cape and get that into a bigger part of the portfolio.
Yes, Western Cape contributed quite a bit. I had a bigger contribution in this reporting period, and it was quite nice to see that there's a little bit more stability in the Western Cape than the Gauteng area, and our ability to move across between these provinces was actually quite attractive at this stage.
The Bankenveld, you say 20,000 units, which is absolutely giant. I mean, that I imagine is a multi-decade project. What would be timeline for getting some of the first units to market?
Simon, we're currently installing the bulk infrastructure. That's just the requirement that make the project developable. Mm-hmm. And our focus is currently on doing the strategic link between the Woodmead intersection and Marlborough intersection. And so it's water and stormwater we're currently focusing on. In about 12 months' time, we'll go to the internal infrastructure to make sure there's water and sewer connections to the stands. And about 18 months from now, we'll be in a position where we can start the construction of top structures. So it's all building up towards that. And it's going to take, it's going to take a while. And you're right, it's going to be a multi-decade project. We see at least a 15-year pipeline on that project.
Yeah, 20,000 units are giant numbers. The gross profit margins held very steady. I mean, 29.43, I think, restated from 29.57, essentially flat. You're managing to hold onto the margins very well.
Yes, and I think this comes back to that balance of making Bankenveld a contributing project and not neglecting the projects that we've invested all this money in over a period of time. So on a project like Fleurhof that has been coming for 15 years now, we acquired that land a long time ago, and we're unlocking some of the historic value. We bought the land 15 years ago and releasing it into the market at current pricing. So that allows us to retain that margin. And it's important growing into a new project that you don't walk away from the existing pipeline.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. Memorial Parks, I mean, cash collections over 50 million, continues to do very nicely.
It is, and it's a very nice business to have at this stage. And we need to balance that or manage the balance between the Memorial Parks and the residential business. The Memorial Parks is not linked to interest rates. It's not public sector exposure. It's got more predictable cash flows. So it allows us to grow into these bigger projects that we would like to go in there. So that's one of the strategic pillars where we said we need to balance that. And we would like to see that business grow.
How many parks do you have at this point?
We've got six active parks with Platinum City in Rustenburg that will start actual burials in November. Mm-hmm. We had some regulatory delays on that. But yeah, we're now starting to look at replacing parks with potential end of life coming on. But that business is maturing and we would like to see that grow quite a bit.
Something like the Rustenburg. I mean, is that sort of a greenfield? It's not an existing you've taken over. You pretty much start from scratch.
Yeah, we started from scratch. So the infrastructure installations started a couple of months ago and we'll be ready to receive commence with the first burials in November. So that is a park started from scratch, greenfield, yeah.
And you do lay-bys with these, as I understand as well. And I appreciate that I think you only recognize the revenue once it's fully paid for, but that also brings in a fair bit of demand.
Yes, and it does. It actually lowers the barrier to entry as well. Mm. Walking into a park and having to commit that capital outlay while the consumer is under pressure.
Yeah.
So the burials over a period of time or the lay-bys allow people to do that over a period of time. And if you look at our lay-by book, the default rate is less than 5%. So it's a healthy and it's committing and assisting with that consistent, reliable cash flow.
We'll leave it there, Ben. Pierre Moherba, CEO, Cogra M3. Appreciate the time. Let your money benefit from experience with StanLib Asset Management. Find out about StanLib Global Select Fund, which follows an investment discipline that has delivered results for 3 decades.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
Chatting now with Nicholas Buerter, Tax Team Compliance and Processing Manager at Tax Consulting SA. Nicholas, appreciate the early morning time. Rand 17:30. A lot of folks thinking, maybe it should be taking some Rand offshore at the level that we currently see. As I understand, this single discretionary allowance, that's your first million, no documentation required. That difference between the 1 and the 10 million, that's the point at which you do need to get SARS clearance. And as I understand, as long as your tax affairs are in order, that shouldn't necessarily be a problem. It should just be a relatively simple process. Is that fair for the first 10 million?
Morning, Simon. Yes, certainly. If your tax affairs are in order and up to date, all your documents are in a row, it is more just a processing situation. So it can be a little bit complex, in terms of the document SARS require. But definitely just, going through a bit of red tape to get those funds out.
And can we do this in advance? I mean, rather than suddenly panic at the last minute, can I do this and then sit on that clearance and then actually utilize it in I don't know, weeks or months, maybe even years' time?
Certainly. So I think there's a lot of misconception, that as soon as you apply for that 10 million and you get it, you need to transfer it abroad. That's definitely not the case. You've got 12 months that clearance is valid for. Certainly recommend, getting a head start on that, because it can be, quite a lengthy process with SARS. And then, after that, there's no obligation to even transfer the money you've requested, so you can, let that expire and there's no detriment there.
Okay. Is this, the limits, and it just occurred to me, we're talking the 1 million or the 10 million as it may be, and we'll talk about bigger numbers in a moment. Is this per calendar year or per tax year?
So the amount is per calendar year, okay. So the million discretionary. And then, like I say, the clearance is then for 12 months. So whenever that's approved, you've got 12 months from that date.
What about really seriously high net worth individuals? So we're talking the first million is easy, the 10 million, you need some documentation, not too complicated. If you're looking to move more offshore, is that a possibility? What is that process there? Or can you only do 10 million and you've got to come back each year to do it in lots of 10? Or could you do a bigger number?
You can certainly do a bigger number. So there's no limit on what you can apply for. Obviously, there just needs to be the justification. So once we often talk about the 1 to 10 million, because that sits with still SARS, whereas then the 10 million plus, you need SARS approval as well as SARB approval. So there's always that extra layer. But we do note that the onus is more on SARS these days, and then the Reserve Bank on the above 10 million amounts typically are more rubber stamping it. There's a little bit of a process there, but as long as SARS has approved it, you're 90% there.
Okay, I got you. So in other words, it is possible to do a larger amount. And I imagine because SARS is taxing you on your worldwide income, they would like it in South Africa, but if you want to move it across to, the US, Europe, wherever, that's fine because they're still going to get their tax on it.
Certainly. So, the onus of proof is always on the taxpayer to declare their global earnings. So whatever you're doing with that money, SARS hasn't necessarily lost the tax benefit, the processing side is complicated when it's those big amounts. Firstly, you have to prove, how did you earn that money and make sure that money's already been taxed and your dues are paid before it's transferred abroad, because obviously it's a bit harder for them to collect once it goes overseas. So there is a lot of diligence required there. But thereafter, you can always repatriate the funds, pay the taxes that are due, and make sure that everything's in order.
But the short answer is that moving money offshore, whether it be small amounts or very large amounts, yes, there is some paperwork. Yes, it might take some time, and yes, you might need some help filling in those forms. But really, it is just become a process, and it's not something that's going to be rejected, assuming everything's in order.
Correct, yeah. So as long as you can justify, how you made your money, you can justify then the source, where does that money come from, and you can justify that you've paid the taxes on that money, you should have no problem in terms of transferring it abroad. It's just heavy paperwork, depending on the amount.
Paperwork, red tape. That's what governments perhaps do best. We'll leave it there. Nicholas Buerter, Tax Team Compliance and Processing Manager, Tax Consulting SA. Appreciate the early morning. That's it for today. We're chatting with Nick Kunze, Sanlam Private Wealth, yesterday. The U.S. sell-off as Trump had threatened 100% additional tariffs on China. Trump had already started to walk it back Sunday evening, Washington time. We asked you, will markets bounce or will we see more downside? Half of you said it'll bounce, and well, yes, it did. Third said you're just watching. The rest said lots more down. Have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter. This podcast is brought to you by StanLib Asset Management. Invest in more certainty to navigate volatile market conditions. We're live every weekday morning, the MoneyWeb website, the app, 6:30 a.m. podcast, just after 7. Thanks to my team, Eddie, Nobuchle, Nicole, to you for listening, my guests for their time. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again tomorrow. The safe portfolio that just got risky.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.